And well, our Old Testament reading this evening is Judges chapter 15, as we continue in our Sunday evening series in the book of Judges, and where we find these spirit-breathed words of the living God. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. After some days, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife with a young goat. And he said, "I will go into my wife in the chamber." But her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, "I really thought that you utterly hated her, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please take her instead." And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches. And he turned them tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and set fire to the stacked grain and the standing grain, as well as the olive orchards. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said to them, "If this is what you do, I swear I will be avenged on you, and after that I will quit." And he struck them hip and thigh with a great blow, and he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They said, "We have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so have I done to them." And they said to him, "We have come down to bind you, that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves." They said to him, "No, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and put out his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men." As soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and that place was called Ramoth Lehi, meaning the hill of the jawbone. And he was very thirsty, and he called upon the Lord and said, "You have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant, and shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" And God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came out from it. And when he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, the name of it was called En Hakkor, meaning the spring of him who called. It is at Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord Jesus, you have declared, as we were reminded earlier, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We pray, O Lord, that you would satisfy our spiritual thirst by your Spirit, who is those rivers of living water. And that you empower us by the same Spirit to bear your fruit more and more in our lives, and to be your faithful and fruitful witnesses, witnesses of your good news, the good news and love of your Son into the lives of others. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been following the life and times of Samson, we've considered in the first place from chapter 14 how the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife and revealed to them, this aged, childless couple, that something miraculous was going to happen in their lives, something they had longed for, but in a sense had given up hope on. They were going to bear a son. And this son was going to be set apart in a special way. He was going to be a Nazarite, and he was going to follow the prescriptions God had set for the Nazarites in Levitical law. But even more than that, he was going to be the next Savior of Israel, the 12th and final judge of Israel, but the next deliverer, the next rescuer, the next Savior of Israel, who was going to deliver Israel from their oppressors, in this case, the Philistines. Samson was born according to the promise of the angel of the Lord. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir within him to accomplish the salvation for which God had raised him up. But as we saw last week, Samson's heart was fickle. It was a heart of faith. To be sure, he is included, as we have considered, in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, by grace, he was a man of faith. But Samson was fickle in his faith. Against his parents' advice, he married a Philistine woman who had caught his eye. He said to his dad, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." And he was, in that sense, a microcosm of Israel during the time of the judges. For they too said, "Never mind what is right in God's eyes. Let's do what is right in our own eyes." But God, who was gracious and faithful, was still using Samson to accomplish his redemptive purposes. And to do so, he sent his Spirit to empower Samson's saving victories. 2 points this evening. First, what Spirit-empowered victory looked like for Samson. In that phase of redemptive history. And second, what Spirit-empowered victory looks like for us today. Does it look exactly the same way, or maybe there's a little bit of a difference in what Spirit-empowered victory looks like for us today as followers of Jesus? First, Samson's Spirit-empowered victory. The role of the Holy Spirit has been noted throughout these chapters on Samson's life. In chapter 13 and verse 25, we read the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was a young man. In chapter 14 and verse 6, we read that when a lion attacked him, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson. And Samson tore the lion in pieces with his bare hands. The Holy Spirit's enabling him to do things that he could not have done in his own strength. And in verse 19 of chapter 14, we heard that after his wife had given the Philistines the answer to his riddle, and he was required, according to the wager that he had made, to give them 30 garments. the Spirit of the Lord once again rushed upon him. And he struck down 30 men of the town and gave their garments to those who had solved the riddle. After that, his father-in-law gave Samson's wife to his companion. I thought you utterly hated us. So I'm going to give my daughter to your companion. The guy was your best man at your wedding. Again, never say the Bible's not interesting, okay? So now Samson wants to woo back his wife. Now today, when men want to woo back their wife, they bring roses. Samson brought a goat. Different time. But you might try it sometime, I don't know. But different time, different place, different culture. But as we heard, his father-in-law was having none of it. And Samson was having none of him. So he performed his trick with the 300 foxes. Hebrew word could be translated jackals. Jackals were more prevalent in Palestine at that time. They travel in greater packs, so maybe it was jackals, or maybe it was foxes. But the bottom line is this, this tit for tat with Samson and the Philistines leads to the Philistines burning some of their own, Samson's wife and father-in-law, which was the very thing she had been hoping to avoid. That's why she coaxed the answer to the riddle out of Samson in the first place, to avoid that. Samson, full of anger, defeated some more of the Philistines. And then they came to Judah to kill him. Friends, this is what eye for an eye looks like. This is what tit for tat looks like. Played out in living color. It's the opposite of grace, the opposite of forgiveness. This is what it looks like. The bloodshed, the carnage, the grudges, the bitterness leads to this, you see. And so the men of Judah bound Samson and took him to the Philistines to save their own lives. And when the Philistines came to him with cries of revenge, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson. Once again, as we read in verse 14, he snapped his bonds and defeated 1,000 Philistines with the fresh jawbone of a donkey. Fresh because that way it wouldn't be dry and brittle. And he called on the Lord. He gave the glory for the victory to the Lord. You notice his words in verse 18. You have granted this great salvation by or through the hand of your servant. He gave God the glory for this victory over the Philistines. It was the Holy Spirit who empowered Samson to have this victory over the oppressors of Israel. He called upon the Lord, gave glory to the Lord, and asked the Lord to save him. Through me, you're saving Israel. Now I'm asking you to save me. Don't let me die of thirst up here. Give me water to drink. And the Lord did so miraculously. The Holy Spirit stirred Samson, rushed upon Samson, and empowered Samson to defeat Israel's oppressors and save Israel in ways that Samson, of course, could not have done in his own strength. So first, Samson's spirit empowered victory. And in the second place, what spirit empowered victory looks like for us today. Again, we should ask when we see these spirit-empowered victories for Gideon or Samson and the others, is that exactly the way that God is calling us to have spirit-empowered victories for the advancement of his kingdom today? Look, where Spirit-empowered victory for us as God's saints today looks different than it did for Samson, as described in the book of Judges. And the reason for that is that God advances His kingdom differently today than He did in the days of Samson. In the days of Samson, part of the way that God advanced His kingdom was for the nation of Israel, this political, military nation of Israel, to physically defeat and subdue their enemies by force. At the top of chapter 15 in one of the Bibles I was looking at in preparation for this message, the heading was, Samson decimates the Philistines. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what he did. Samson decimated the Philistines. And the Spirit of God empowered him to do it. Because during that era of redemptive history, that is part of how God's kingdom was advancing and being preserved. But friends, that era has ended. So how does the Spirit of God empower us to advance His kingdom today? Well, Brian read it earlier from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When Jesus said to His disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Very similar language of the rushing upon Samson of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts you read about the Holy Spirit rushing in as wind and shaking places where the disciples had gathered. Jesus said, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, is going to rush in upon you, and He's going to empower you as the church. What did we hear from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Jesus' disciple, "You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in order to do what? Tie foxtails together and burn fields." No, wait a minute. Decimate the Philistines. Maybe that's what some of the disciples were thinking. Peter with his sword. But no, what did Jesus say? We've got to understand this. What did He say? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be My witnesses." To be My witnesses. In word and deed. To witness to My gospel and My character to the nations. How are we to be His witnesses? We are to share His good news and we are to show His love. Jesus said, "You'll be known as My disciples by your love for one another." The reality of the relationship between the Father and the Son, Jesus prayed in John 17 in His high priestly prayer, will be made manifest and known by the unity of believers one with another. Our love for one another. That is how we bear witness for Jesus. So we must ask the Holy Spirit to help us share the good news of Jesus' grace and the adopting love of our Father in the context of our showing Jesus' grace and our Father's love. That is the package in which we must deliver the present of the gospel. The old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is true in every relationship. As our final hymn encourages us, we are to ask the Holy Spirit to bring the presence of the risen Lord into our hearts and cause, it's going to open up the fruit of the Spirit, and cause His joy to be seen in all we do. His joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Cause His joy to be seen in all we do. To help us love, you know, love that covers every sin. What does that mean? That means we don't keep records of wrongs. We are a forgiving people. To show kindness to the greatest and the least. And gentleness that sows the path of peace. That in unity, the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see. In other words, we ask the Holy Spirit to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus. Now, here's the thing we need to remember. That's an even bigger deal than what the Spirit did through Samson. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is, if we can put it this way, more impressive than what Samson pulled off with a jawbone of a donkey. Proverbs. Why would I say that? Well, that's revealed through the story of redemption in Scripture, in Jesus. But Proverbs 16:32 says this: better a patient person than a warrior. Better is one with self-control than one who takes a city. The fruit of the Spirit. Even more wonderful. Even more an amazing work of God in somebody's life than what the Spirit empowered Samson to do. For as another hymn writer put it, today in this final era of redemptive history, it's not with swords loud clashing or roll of stirring drums, but with deeds of love and mercy that the heavenly kingdom comes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.